الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. وقال تبارك وتعالى: فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. لنصغر رسالة دروس شريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد على آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. اما بعد، respected elders, dear brothers, our beloved children, and all who are listening on the audio streaming, in the Isha Salah, the first rakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us very important guidance and messages. And also in the second rakat, so in the first rakat, the messages that we get from the verses that were recited, three very important messages Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. And it is very relevant also to our time that we are in and the conditions that we are witnessing and the concerns and fears that we have. All the answers are there. It's in the Quran, it's in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is there in the teachings of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the three messages that we may take from these verses that were recited in the first rakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all cautions us again and again in the Quran. Here again the caution is given: ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, believers, la tulhikum amwalukum wa la auladukum an dhikrillah. Very important warning and a caution given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O believers, la tulhikum amwalukum wa la auladukum an dhikrillah. Do not let your wealth and your children, meaning your family, or which we could say your beloved things and your beloved ones. We can encapsulate it all in two words: your beloved things and your beloved ones, don't let them make you negligent and forgetful of your purpose of creation and your very reason of being on earth here. And that is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the purpose of our creation, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have not created man and jinn but for our worship. So that's the purpose of our creation. This is the objective of our creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just create us in vain, but there was a purpose of our creation. And the purpose of our creation, primary purpose of our creation, is so that we may worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we may remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as per this ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't let the things of this world and the beloved ones of this world make you negligent and forgetful of your purpose of creation, of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever does that, that he's not going to remember his purpose of creation, he's not going to engage in the remembrance of Allah, and he's going to allow the things, the beloved things and beloved ones of this world, to distract him from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to them as those who are the losers. The losers are those ones. Then the second message Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us here, and that is, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّي لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. Second message Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Spend from that which we have given you. We have given you. This is found many places in the Quran. Repeatedly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, spend from that which we have given you. Repeatedly Allah is reminding us that don't think that it is your effort. Don't think it's your ability. Don't think it's your capability. It's not your ability. It's not your capability. Qarun had that mentality. Qarun had that thinking. He said, you know, قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ إِلْمُ مِنَ الْكِتَابُ. He said that عَلَىٰ عِلْمِ مِنْ عِنْدِي. عَلَىٰ عِلْمِ مِنْ عِنْدِي. This is because of my knowledge and capability, my ability, my know-how that I accumulated this wealth. That's the Karuni mentality. But the believer does not believe that. He does not have that attitude and outlook to wealth. But he attributes wealth to Allah has provided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted. So if from that which we have granted you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, spend from that. Spend. Do not withhold, don't hold back. When it is time to spend, when there is a need, there is a situation, when there is a call, when there is a cry, when there is a calling, when there is some kind of situation, then do not hold back, do not withhold, but be of those وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. And Allah Ta'ala says, don't postpone it and don't procrastinate it and do not delay it to that point. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. That death now arrives at your doorstep and now you realize it is time to leave this world. And I got so much that is sitting here and I needed to have spent that and I needed to have EFT'd to my account of Akhirah. And I supposed to have accumulated it in my bank account and bank balance of Akhirah, but I have held on to it and I have not sent it forth. Allah Ta'ala says, don't leave it till that moment. Because then you have no control over your wealth. Now your wealth does not belong to you anymore. In fact, the moment a person enters the last terminal illness of his life and his condition deteriorates, it is called maradul wafat in the fiqh terminologies. Maradul wafat, the illness prior to death, then you have no control. You don't have say in your wealth anymore. The 2/3 have already been allocated to the heirs. Now at that point in time, you cannot say, look, I want to give all this away in charity and I want to give that away in charity. You will be allowed maximum 1/3 in which you can make your bequest. Beyond 1/3, you are not allowed to do any bequest because now you are infringing on that which you are living. You are not dead. You are still alive. You are still living, but you have already relinquished control because now you are in that illness that is the terminal illness that's leading to your death. So therefore, you cannot now interfere in the rights of the heirs. Their right has already been established in your wealth. So Allah Ta'ala says, don't procrastinate and don't delay till that moment now when it is too late to do anything. Fayaqula, a person will say, he will say with great deal of remorsefulness, with great deal of regret, لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. Oh Allah, why don't you just give me a little bit of extension of my life so that I can do the necessary that I supposed to have done. But it will be said to him, that وَلَيْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. What will he say? Oh Allah, give me this extension فَأَصَدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. When I do this, when I get this extension, I will do 2 things. I will spend, I will give charity, I will give freely, I will spend now whatever avenues that need to be spent in, I will give now freely. فَأَصَدَّقَ, I will give lots of charity. And secondly, he will say, وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Now I'll become pious. Now I will become from the صَالِحِينَ. I will join the group of the pious. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to give a person extension when once the time is up, the time is up, there is no extension. That is it. So these are the three messages that are given to us, that number one, don't let this wealth, don't let your family, your loved ones, your beloved possessions, don't let it make you forget Allah's remembrance and your purpose of creation. Secondly, spend freely for what Allah has given you and don't procrastinate it till the last minute. And thirdly, don't be of those who have wishes, good wishes now at the end of your life and say that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to spend now and I'm going to become pious now, because it is too late to do that at that point in your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us in the Holy Quran, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ فَذُوقُوا فَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ نَصِيرٍ. Have we not given you the lifespan in which you could have done all what was supposed to be done? And not only that, but we sent warners to come and warn you, but you did not pay any heed to the warners, and you carried on a life of heedlessness, and now it is late. Now you're saying, oh Allah, I didn't have enough of a lifespan to do what I needed to do. It will be said, no. You were given your chance. You were given your opportunity. You did not take that opportunity. Now it is your loss, and it is your responsibility because you were given the chance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding and realization that we do not procrastinate and delay things for too late. We do not hold on too much to the things, and we do not let these things make us heedless and forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second rakat, also very important messages given to us. فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Two important messages. فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With every hardship, Allah will bring ease. With every difficulty, Allah will bring facility. Therefore, do not let the difficulties overwhelm you to the point that you become despondent and you lose hope in Allah's mercy and you lose hope that there is any way forward. No, we should not have that outlook in life. Difficulties, hardships are inevitable in the life of a human being. No one can escape that. When Allah's messengers, may Allah's peace and mercy be upon them, they could not escape difficulty and hardship, then who are we, my dear friends? We are also going to have to go through difficulty and hardship in this life of this world. Sometimes it comes individually on a person in the form of an illness, in the form of some kind of a financial problem, in the form of some kind of fear, some kind of worry, some kind of concerns, some loss of some wealth or honor or property or possessions or what have you. It comes in that form, and sometimes it may come in a collective form for an entire community, for an entire province, for an entire country. It may come in a collective form. It may come for the whole world at one time in a collective form, as we saw recently in the Middle East, that how much of uncertainty and the fears that gripped the people, and there was so much of uncertainty and so much of panic, and the cost of fuel shot through the ceiling, as they say, and cost of living went up around the globe. The conflict was in the Middle East, but the whole world felt the effect of it. Whole world was afflicted. The whole world was affected by these things. And there is a so-called, you know, peace and some kind of holding back of war at this point in time. But Allah knows what the future holds and how long-lasting will these things be. How long it will hold. How long it will hold. We pray and wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let conditions of peace and security and prosperity prevail in this world. But there is no guarantees about anything. Therefore, what of God? And we should not become complacent thinking that no, all is okay now. Now the peace deal has been signed, peace treaties have been concluded, because these things can, overnight they can turn. Overnight the condition can go back to what it was, or even worse. So we should not be caught in a state of complacency. Or it can be, as I said, on a global level. It can be on a country level. It can be on a provincial level. At this moment in time, what we are witnessing in our own country, the fears, the anxiety, the worries that have gripped our communities, our country, our province, especially, and the disruptions that it has brought to the general normal functioning situation that we were in. So these are all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conditions that befall us from time to time. This world was never meant to be a paradise. It was never meant to be a trouble-free and problem-free place. It has been designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a place of trial and tribulation. This is inevitable. It's never going to be that everything will be very good and there will be no problems or difficulties. It's never been like that, and it will never be like that. This is dunya, and this is the nature of dunya, and this is the temperament of dunya. Allah has created it like this. Therefore, these are conditions that come and go and come and go. These are all situations that we face from time to time. We should not, for a believer, it's not something that is extraordinary or out of the ordinary. These are things that we anticipate in this world. We have been prepared for all of this by the Quran and the teachings of the Sunnah, that these are things to be expected. This is how the world is. This is how things have been historically from time of Adam alayhi salam right till our time. There's always been ups and downs and upheavals in this world. There's always been turbulence. There's never been a time when everything was absolutely problem free. So we are already, we have been trained, we have been conditioned from the Quran and the Sunnah to expect these type of conditions to happen, to come. These things have happened in the past. Worse has happened. Much more difficult conditions have come. People have lived through that. And now we are in another situation at this point in time. And we must do what we are required to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do what He has to do. And in these type of conditions, then first thing, we will reflect on this ayat of Quran, that difficulties are there. But immediately after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that don't become despondent and do not lose hope. First lesson you must take from all of this, إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. There will be hardship, but remember, ease is going to follow. Good conditions will come back too. So don't be despondent. First lesson that we learn, first message that we take, that hardships are there. That's the first. Second thing is, don't become despondent when hardships come, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create the conditions of ease after the hardship. And what are we to do? The second message of these verses, and I conclude on that, this is the fifth message now, all the messages put together. What are we to do? What are we to do when we are in circumstances that are not very conducive? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after mentioning about hardship and the ease that will follow. Then he says to him, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. Then after you've done your work, you've strived, you spent your day in working hard and doing whatever was to be done, then now exert yourself now. In your night now, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become repentant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and incline to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's remembrance and incline to the supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and devote yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. Devote yourself to your Rabb, to your Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the night. Exert yourself. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that a person must actually experience some degree of tiredness also when you're doing ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let yourself get a little bit tired. When you are feeling a bit tired now, then you can stop and say, okay, now I am tired, so I'm going to stop at this point in time. But it means that you must exert yourself to a certain point of tiredness. Not that we just start feeling a little bit of, you know, tiredness or sleepiness and we say, no, enough now, I can't carry on. No, no. We must continue till the point where it shouldn't be that now we start reading everything upside down. We're reading the ayats all wrong and then we're making zikr in the wrong way and all of that. Now that is a sign that now we are mentally, we are not in a state to continue. So we shut down at that point in time. But otherwise, we should be, and this is the plan of action in this type of circumstance, generally too, but particularly when we are faced with such type of conditions, that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa ila rabbika farghab. Devote yourself to your Rabb. Why? Because the solutions of all of the problems and the resolution of all these difficulties is in His control. Turn to the one who controls the affairs. Put your matter and affairs in His hand. Turn to Him to settle these matters. Turn to Him to deal with these matters. In the worldly life, when we have circumstances like this, people will say, who's the people behind this? Who's the people that can be spoken to? That is in a worldly means. There's nothing wrong to negotiate or to talk to people, to go and have meetings and to engage and have engagements. All these things are allowed. Shariat gives permission for all of this. This is the way of Allah's creation of means in this world. We adopt the means for all these things. There's nothing wrong. But the ultimate authority and the power, that ultimate authority and power is Allah Rabbul Izzat. We must not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we should put our matters and affairs before Him. Let us go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, before we go even to whoever we have to hold meetings with and hold negotiations and hold, you know, some kind of engagement with them. Before that, our first engagement is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We place our matters before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the times when we need to intensify that first message of zikrullah that Allah spoke about, is the time to intensify the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now more than before. Now is the time we started, alhamdulillah, we commenced our program with Yasin Sharif. This is the time to have the Yasin Sharif in our masajid, in our musallas, wherever, as friends, groups of friends, family groups and so on. We will encourage, and I would like to spread this message across the country and across our province, that brothers and sisters, let us not become negligent. Let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At least start with the Yasin Sharif khatam in our musallas, in our masjids. in our family groups. We got, mashallah, there's plenty of WhatsApp groups of family, of friends, of associates, of work, and so on. Let us use these platforms to encourage the reading of Yasin Sharif, at least minimum on a daily basis. We should have Yasin Khatam taking place in our masajid, in our musallas, in our maktabs, and even in our homes, on the family groups. Encourage it so that whole families, we may not be in one house, we may be whole lot of families staying in different homes, but everybody at one time, they are now reading Yasin. And this way, we will be attracting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, and we will be repelling Allah's displeasure and Allah's punishment. So, this is one of the things that needs to be done. Then to engage in the istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a very, 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 very important act for everyone. That at least a minimum 100 times istighfar. If we do more, the better it is. If we make it 500, it will be wonderful. And we make it 1,000, is even better. And if we can have khatams of istighfar also on our family groups, put it out there, that try to finish a count of, say, the whole family get together. And on the WhatsApp groups and so on, they say, inshallah, we are going to, tonight we're finishing 1,000 istighfar. And everybody, young and old in the house, is busy with istighfar. They put the count it quickly. We reach our count of 1,000, alhamdulillah. Now, if the whole community is engaging in istighfar, then we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will not punish them, and we will not let our punishment overtake them as long as they are engaging in istighfar. Istighfar is a very, very effective method of warding off calamities and disasters and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a lot of istighfar individually, and then on our groups collectively, we should try to do a lot of istighfar. One format of istighfar, very, very powerful and very effective format of istighfar, is also ayat-e kareema, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min az-zalimin. This is a form of istighfar, and it is the powerful formula of Yunus alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to this ummah. So that is one format of istighfar. So we should include this ayat-e kareema, as it is called. We do a khatam of ayat-e kareema on our groups also, inshallah. And then together with that, we should recite a lot of durood sharif. Durood sharif is a way also of attracting Allah's special rahmah and mercies in our direction. Istighfar will ward off calamities. Durood will attract the mercies. So a lot of durood sharif in our groups to encourage family and friends to recite a lot of durood sharif. Durood etunjina, very, very, very powerful. If 1,000 durood etunjina is done, the ship that was sinking was saved from sinking through the power of durood etunjina, 1,000 durood etunjina. So durood etunjina is something that we need to adopt. And then to give sadaqah and charity is also very, very important. Even if it be small amounts, but take out that amount and give out wherever we can by giving out bread, food, whatever it may be. Let us be of those who give the sadaqah. And through the sadaqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ward off the calamity. So five things that are necessary to be done. One is the Yasin khatam. Then it is the istighfar. Then it is the ayat-e kareema. Then it is the durood, and then it is the sadaqah, and of course 6 points we need to have, and the sixth one is the dua. dua, 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 asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala individually to, collectively to, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy, for things to change, for conditions to become better. All of mankind is helpless. Nobody can help anyone. Only Allah can help all of us. We should turn to the mighty, almighty, all-powerful Rabb and Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us in these conditions. Then there's no need for fear, there's no need for panic, there's no need for this type of thing. Let us, we've got a very strong rope of hope to hold on to, and that is Allah Rabbul Izzat, and the mercy and help of Allah is what we have that we can hold on to. Therefore, there should be no reason for us to become fearful or to panic. But let us do what we are supposed to do. Then we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will do what He has to do. But if we don't want to do anything, and we just want things must come right on their own, we must do nothing, we must just carry on the way we are. We don't want to make istighfar, we don't want to make amal, we don't want to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't want to devote ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we want things must just change on their own. No, my dear, we are deceiving ourselves. We are fooling ourselves. We have to do from our side what we have to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then do what He has to do. So this is a very clear, plain, open, simple plan of action that has been spelled out for us as a ummah to adopt and to follow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, give us tawfiq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Inshallah, we will do the durood and salam, therefore some zikr, and then dua will take place.